category, since it really wasn't an American document, but it was one of the first, many people believe, the first constitution as it was written and drafted up coming over from the motherland.
I think probably a better approach is if you were concerned about, if you wanted to limit it to American documents, you could do that. If you were concerned about it being included, I would simply suggest you add that to the list and make sure that those are included. I can't really tell you if the Mayflower Compact is considered an American document or not. I'm trying to remember my high school history, and it fails.
That wasn't my reason for asking the question. If you're asking, I just noted that many of the documents supporting the bill say American history, but it doesn't say that in the bill. So.
Yes.
Any other questions of Mike? Seeing none, what is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, are we entertaining the CS or the original version?
We're, at this point, considering the original version of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, could we hear from the sponsor of the bill, please, on the difference, I mean, on his feelings on the two?
Thank you.
Realistically, no.
Realistically, I think the bill is, I think, a little more tighter as it addresses the types of documents. I don't want to give teachers or administrators the blanket authority to use any kind of document. And it would be, you know, we could perhaps say the King James Version could be used as an historical document, but I don't think that's the intent. And that's the reason for at least identifying some of these documents that we're talking about. We're not talking about Bibles or anything of that nature, and I prefer that we support the original bill or make some inclusion into the
So that we can, would you move the bill then? And we'll
move the bill.
Okay, we have a motion to move HB 339. Under discussion, I would have to say that I would oppose the passage or movement of HB 39 as it is now. That I addressed my concerns with the two specific things that were referenced by the Department of Education and the Department of Law in B and in C. D, while I recognize that some people believe saying historical documents include and then listing those leaves it open for others, but several other references I've seen used says includes but is not limited to. And I don't know if that's important or not, but it asks the question, and I hate passing things that ask more questions than they answer. If I have, and this is why this CS was developed, if I am in any way correct in what it is that this bill was trying to get at, this one line on the CS seems to cover it. So I would, you know, I guess I'm just saying for discussion that I would not support this, but I probably would support the CS. Representative James, yes. Then Norland, then
Thank
Phillips.
You, Mr. Chairman. I guess that, you know, for all practical purposes, the CS does say what it is that I assume that the sponsor is hoping to accomplish. However, I feel kind of comfortable with some of the things that are in the original bill. But I'm not. I'd like to have some time to really word them to address the concerns that we heard today from some of the people. But just to make a statement, you know, because we've heard several people testify and say that this bill is not necessary. And what I've seen, and here's again when I have an advantage because I've been here more years than most of you have been, and I've seen a trend. Using anything that has any religious content in it at all, that what we have actually done in our schools is created a non-religion, which is another religion. And so, you know, I believe that we need to balance the issue here for our own sakes, and I think that this will do that and give some teachers some comfort in being able to do some of the things that they have up until now been believing that they could not and or were told by their school boards or school districts or their administrators that they could not. And so I think, you know, we need to at least go that far. Some of these other things that were the testimony here today had mentioned in the second page of this bill, I think could be tightened up and fixed to address their concerns and also make me feel more comfortable with having it a little more substantive.
Sorry, we have Representative Nordland, Phillips, and then Kat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will... Just for the information of the sponsor, I'm going to oppose the original version of the bill here in the committee, and if it ever makes it to the floor. The CA, based primarily because of the arguments from the Department of Education, I was, and as well as from NEA, which leaves us with the CS if we decide to adopt that one, and then I think we're in a situation in which I don't think the CS really accomplishes anything. Now, if there are fears that someday maybe there might be these restrictions about using historical documents with religious references in them, then, you know, I could change my mind. I'm open-minded to the second version. So I'll be voting with the chairman on the original bill, but probably would at least allow a vote to pass out the other version of the bill.
Representative Phillips?
I have a little problem with limiting in the original bill the documentation to American history, because as you teach world history, as you teach literature, as you teach any number of subjects, languages, etc., you're going far beyond American history, and I just have a problem with that limited scope in the original bill.
Representative Carroll.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my motion to move and make a motion to adopt the committee substitute.
I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute. Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of the committee substitute dated 3794/393/J? No objection. We have before us CS for HB 399 Judiciary. Further discussion? Is there a motion to adopt the
motion to move out with individual recommendations?
And zero fiscal note. Is there further discussion of the motion to move? Seeing none, is there objection? Bill is passed.
Interesting.
Okay, now, guys, if I could get you to stand by for just a couple minutes, I've got a slam dunk. I really do.
It's
real long.
We were 3 hours on one of your slam dunks.
Okay, let me ask real quick, if teleconference-wise, if we have Mary Ellen Beardsley and Jerry Kurtz online? Well, we have Mary Ellen at least. I'd like to now, if we could quickly, take up the Fraudulent Transfers Act, HB 439. We have at least first Mary Ellen Beardsley from the Department of Law to tell us about the act, and maybe we have Jerry Kurtz and maybe we don't. But in any event, Mary Ellen, welcome, and please tell us about the bill. Very good. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because I don't know many of the people on the committee, I will very briefly give you some ideas of background. Try and keep my remarks from now on in fairly limited. And I hope that when I do so, you will ask me questions if you have them, because I'm not trying to issues. I practiced law in Alaska for about 30 years or more, and the last 25 years I primarily worked with commercial and business problems. I'm here representing the Reform Law Commission of the United States, and I am a representative on that commission appointed by the governor of Alaska, have been since 1989. Prior to that time, I was with the Alaska Code Revision Commission for about 8 years. And in both of these positions, I've worked primarily with efforts to improve laws rather than to push them in favor of one direction or another. I'm strongly in favor of House Bill 439 because I think it would be a substantial improvement in Alaska law. And at this point, it's worth just briefly explaining what we're talking about. Fraudulent conveyances are not necessarily criminally fraudulent conveyances. In fact, the term of art that does not involve a criminal action. But a fraudulent conveyance is a transfer to somebody of a substantial proportion of his or her property, or an item of his or her property, that either is deliberately made to deprive a person's creditors of the property, or is made under circumstances where most people would think it's only fair to let the creditors get at that property. The typical fraudulent conveyance occurs when somebody has borrowed a great deal of money or promised to do something under a contract
Jerry?
Yes.
I've got, we're about 15 minutes past the end of the committee time, and I've got a couple people who can stay for about 5 minutes, but otherwise they got to scoot. Could we get the executive summary?
This bill will help do that. It's substantially law now of every state west of the Mississippi except Louisiana, Iowa, Kansas, Wyoming, and Alaska. In other words, we're not only not in coordination with those states, we are grossly behind them. 25 or 30 states, 26 states to be exact, adopted the old Uniform Act, put into effect in 1918, and 32 states in total have adopted this new version, which was first promulgated in 1984. Alaska is still operating under the law of Elizabeth. And it will, I think, help everybody except the deadbeat who's really trying to hide stuff to not only know what the law is, but to enforce agreements that are legitimate agreements.
Jerry, thank you very much. What's the wish of the committee?
I wish the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, anything that moves us out of the Elizabethan age, I'd move that we move the bill out of committee with individual recs.
I have a motion to move. Is there discussion?
Just one comment, Mr. Chairman.
Representative James.
Hello, Mary Ellen. It's got the, glad to see you. Let's move this bill out of here. It's a good bill.
Is there objection? Seeing none, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Mary Ellen
Mr.
and
Chairman.
Jerry, thank you very much. We really did read it, and...